Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time, and excuse me, summertime. And today is August 15th. And today we had a pretty significant move in the dollar that has affected just about everything in here today. When you look at this page that's covered by the futures, so the majority of commodity contracts were in negative territory today, and the dollar was up against the majority of currencies. So, most particularly, I think the one that really does stick out is the yen, because the dollar had been right back at the region of its lows over the last 4 or 5 months, and is now back above 110. And by rallying today, it is breaking this more than month-long progression of lower rally highs. And as long as it is sustaining the move above 110, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And this has been a period of time where the dollar has been under a great deal of pressure, and there has been pretty much taken for granted that it was going to continue to weaken. Now, when we look at the dollar index, it didn't hold its gain throughout the whole day, and it encountered resistance around 94. But the fact that it moved to a new reaction high, or a new rally high, from the beginning of August, is a tentative sign that we're starting to see support beginning to build around the lower side of what is a lengthy medium-term range. The dollar has been largely range-bound for much of the last 2.5 years, and when we look at this chart, we can see a great example of what a failed upside break looks like, and then the repercussions of that being that it comes right back down and tests the lower side of the underlying range. It failed to sustain the breakout in January, and it is now right at the lower side of the range. So this is the place where people will begin to ask questions, where is we there wasn't a vacuum of supply above the market when it surmounted the 100 level. Is there a vacuum of demand below the market at this particular level? And the fact that the dollar is beginning to firm from here is at least a tentative sign that demand may be returning to dominance, at least for a bounce or a reversionary move back up towards the mean. And but it is still very early days. The fact that it wasn't able to hold all of the gain in here today does put more onus onto what happens through the balance of this week. And obviously, when we think about any particular currency, it is only strong or weak when we compare it to another. And it's probably worth also then looking at what's happening with the euro. The euro has gone all the way up to test, not quite yet get there, but test the 120 area. It's currently trading around 117 and a bit. And it was off its low in here today. So this is where the dollar was not able to sustain all of its intraday rally. So far, this is an equal-sized reaction relative to what we've seen over the course of the last 4 or 5 months, that reactions have been in the order of about 2 cents. And this one was slightly smaller. The one between May and June was about 2 cents. The one in April, May was also about 2 cents. We'd have to go back all the way to March before we see something larger than that. And that was a significant, that feels like a long time ago when the euro was trading around the 110 area. So, in order to really question the consistency of what has been a very consistent advance over the last 4 months, we're going to have to see an additional pullback in here to suggest that we're getting a larger reaction that would question the consistency of the advance, and it would open up the possibility that we're back into a reversionary process, that it would unwind some of the overbought condition that it has developed. It has rather raced to get up to these levels, but that is also when I think we have to consider the fact that it has been ranging for over 2 years, and that ranges are explosions waiting to happen. There was a failed downside break at the beginning of this year, and it has now gone right back up and broken out. So then the potential is that if it does consolidate, that it may not come all the way back down to the region of the trend mean, but rather just come back and test the upper side of the underlying range, which would be much closer to about 115. The fact that the dollar, though, was a bit stronger in here today has weighed on the precious metals. and gold prices were down about $10. This is looking increasingly likely that we have had some evidence now of resistance coming in around the $1,300 area. When we look at silver, it followed platinum down yesterday, and it has now posted a second downward dynamic in the space of about 10 sessions from around this $17 area. And that does represent the region of the trend mean. It's also around the region of the progression of lower rally highs in the context of this downtrend that's been evident for a year already. It absolutely needs to sustain a move above $17 to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. I close my position because I'm not willing to sit through another correction. I think that I'm trying to learn from my lesson with platinum. I'm not going to sit through corrections in the hope that we're going to get a recovery, but rather I'm going to be more activist. So I'm going to sell rallies and attempt to buy the dips. And when in a proxy of a baby steps trading strategy, then. When we take a broader step back and we look at, for example, some of the other commodities, coffee prices were down almost 5 cents in here today. This is a dynamic move. It is a much larger reaction than we've seen since the beginning of this rebound from the middle of June. And this is also an important level here because when we look at that weekly chart, it had unwound all of its overbought, oversold condition relative to the trend mean, and now it is pulling back in a dynamic manner. This is a big question whether at the extent to which coffee can find support is going to be a big question in here. And it wasn't just coffee, it was a large number of the soft commodities were also in negative territory. Cocoa, excuse me, not cocoa, sugar is now pulling back. It has given up most of its advance, and that was a pretty meager advance following what has been a rather impressive pullback since the end of last year. And the fact that it only partially unwound its oversold condition relative to the trend mean suggests that this is still a bear market environment. And I will put up the price of cocoa because it was down in also in a dynamic manner in here today, that it has lost momentum following an accelerated decline. And it has unwound the oversold condition relative to the trend mean, but it is still rather uncertain whether this is now support building or whether it is a distribution in the context of a wider pullback. That if we look at the much longer term chart, there doesn't seem to be anything particularly sacrosanct around this $2,000 level, that it could potentially go lower from here. And considering just how oversold the dollar is, then that is a significant potential catalyst for the commodity sector because certainly we've had some pretty impressive rallies over the last 6 or 7 weeks in a number of commodities, and there is the potential that they're going to get unwound if we do get an additional dollar rally. Now, oil prices bounced today from around the $50 area. But this has been, and this is a very choppy environment. It doesn't even begin to approach a consistent environment. And but what we can say is that there is a progression of lower rally highs evident since the beginning of January, and it pulled back in the end of last week from the region of the most recent one of those lower highs. So now the question is, how much of the advance is it going to give up? Are we in a consolidation phase? But in order to demonstrate that we are back in a demand-dominated environment, it is going to have to sustain a move above $52. It will have to break the progression of lower rally highs in order to suggest that this is anything other than a volatile, ranging phase or a period of right-hand extension following the massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend back at the beginning of 2016. This is a very choppy range, and $60 has represented an area of resistance on successive occasions. And everyone knows at this stage that there are some very key differences between conventional and unconventional drilling, but the most important of those is that unconventional drillers can manage supply by simply stopping drilling. And they can just kick up drilling again when prices advance. And that elasticity of supply means that they can manage the price. And that is something that I don't think that is really being comprehended by OPEC at the present moment, that unconventional oil and gas drillers have got this elasticity in terms of their supply that is much more difficult to achieve with conventional drilling. So it is quite a hurdle to get above that $60 area, and that's without even beginning to consider the medium to long-term impact of what is represented by technological innovation, and the fact that you have innovation in solar cells that continues to get better, that we are finally starting to see innovation in the battery sector that is reaching not only because we are getting in more scale, and that scale is bringing down costs, but that there is true innovation also coming through as well, and that it is only a matter of time before these emerging technologies are commercialized, and then we move into a profoundly different energy environment. So, and those are medium-term considerations. That's why I think that the elasticity of unconventional supply is a much more important factor in oil prices right now. Then, when we look at the stock markets in here today, the S&P 500 was able to squeeze out a positive. Well, I was going to say positive, but it's not quite positive advance in here today, and it was rocked by some of the consumer-related shares. And one of those would have been auto parts, and that has been a sector that has been decimated, that it is facing headwinds from a number of different sectors, that it is competing with Amazon for auto parts sales, but then it is also coming up against the very real fact that electric vehicles don't have half the parts and are more reliable. And if your business is selling auto parts, and the growth in the industry is not in auto parts, then that represents really quite a significant problem. So, let's see. I don't actually know the ticker for auto parts. And actually, there is. Well, I can put up AutoZone, and these are all pretty similar. AutoZone has fallen by about $8 in here, and it is barely hanging on in here. But if we look at, for example, the movers on the S&P 500, then what we can see is that there was earnings in here today, and some of those retailers were among the leading decliners. So Advance Auto Parts and Coach down 50, 20 and 15%. Respectively. Now, these are really quite significant declines, and I think it is worth looking at those, because it isn't that they are in well, of course they are in different sectors, but they're being affected by exactly the same headwinds. So this is a significant decline here. This is an accelerating downtrend, that the share has basically halved. And in fact, more than halved since the end of 2015. And certainly, there is a lot of bad news already in the price. It is facing a significant headwind. And if we look at what we have seen from a number of these other shares, that despite the fact that it has pulled back incredibly violently, the estimated PE is still around 14. And that is not yet at bargain basement prices. But then also, if we look at Coach, where it really was just cut off at the knees in here today, that it had previously been exhibiting a recovery trajectory, but that is a dynamic failed upside break. And this is also a victim of the demise of the retail sector, or the conventional retail sector. So What we can definitely see in terms of stock market performance is that there are very clear winners and losers, and that polarization in the market is becoming increasingly evident, that it is no longer simply a case of whether one should be owning certain stocks, but that it is almost more important at this stage to avoid owning other stocks, that the polarization between the shares that are benefiting from technological innovation and those that are the victims of technological innovation is becoming progressively starker. And that, I think, is likely to inform the decisions of more investors as time goes on. When we look at the bigger picture, then in Europe and here today, the markets were reasonably steady. What we are continuing to see is some evidence of support coming in the region of the trend mean, but of course there has been a downward trend since the beginning of May, and a sustained move above the 380 area on the Euro stocks would confirm a return to demand dominance. And the FTSE 100 is getting some assistance from the weakness of the pound, and not least against the euro. The pound was quite weak in here today, but when we look at that FTSE on the weekly chart, you can see that it has largely been range bound for the last 3 months, and that has unwound its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. And as long as it is finding support in the region of that mean, then we continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Then, because the dollar is rallying against the yen, it is worth looking at the Nikkei, which pulled back in a dynamic manner over the last four sessions, but only a dynamic within the context of what was a very inert environment just about for all of June and July. And the more, I think, the bigger picture is that it is just consolidating in the region of this 20,000 level, which is a large psychological level. It's firming now from the region of the trend mean. If the dollar can extend its rally against the yen, then that is going to be a bullish catalyst. And I've been doing a click through of the Japanese shares over the last hour. I'm going to post a number of those charts in comment of the day tomorrow, but certainly there is a high degree of commonality in the cosmetic sector, and certainly Mrs. Tracy filled her boots with cosmetics when we were over in Japan in April, and that is certainly something that it is one of the major hits that the massive population of Chinese tourists going to Japan want to do. They want to get those Japanese cosmetics. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.